I'm going to give you a very data-rich presentation. So if you have any questions, it's very similar to the methods that we've used for several years, and all of these reports are in the proceedings, and I would encourage you to look at this report as well. Since 2006, we have been monitoring Helicoverpa zea, officially monitoring them for susceptibility to the BT toxins expressed in BT cottons. It's become more complicated in the past few years with additional proteins, additional perspectives and ideas of the industry groups involved. This past year, we looked at Cry1AC, Cry2AB2, Cry1F, and VIP3A. The dosages that were chosen as test concentrations were those recommended by industry groups. They may or may not represent really high dosages. They're usually the highest dose that we can apply using the assay method involved. Differences this year also were that insects were collected and sent to Monsanto's rearing facility, and the eggs from those insects were sent to our laboratory where we assayed usually the first generation of insects. We also conducted some plant assays this year that I will show you. So these are the kind of data I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you several graphs like this. This is for the high dose of Cry1AC for mortality in diet incorporation assays on the top. The bottom is for mortality plus stunning. That's for larvae that did not molt to second instars by a 7-day observation. The graph on the top would be for those that were judged dead at 7 days. The x-axis is the numbers of colonies that were tested. You'll see lab zea, which is our susceptible laboratory colony, several places in that graph. It was always paired up. Every batch had lab zea as an experimental control for experimental variability. We analyzed the data within batches and across all batches. My comments today primarily will deal with the information across the batches. You see in general, you will always see a higher response, a higher effective dose, perhaps, with the mortality plus stunning response data. So for those Cry1AC diet incorporation studies, the highest mortality seen was with lab zea, and it was 95%. Interestingly, several of those lab zea batches were significantly less, illustrating the high biological variability in these types of studies. The lowest mortality seen was with colony S17, which was 15%. So there's a lot of variability in these mortality assays. With the mortality plus stunning responses, all of the laboratory colonies, the lab zea and Monzea, which is Monsanto's laboratory colony, were equal to 100% statistically. Three of the 26 colonies had less than 100%, between 82 and 92%. So this year we also included a diet overlay assay with Cry1AC, and the highest dose tested was 30 micrograms per centimeter squared. You can see that there is not as much variability in these data. Overall, this is a much higher dose delivered in these assay responses. With the mortality response, there were 4 of 23 colony batches that had less than 100% response. There was no response less than 100% at 30 micrograms with Cry1AC, 30 micrograms per centimeter squared in a diet overlay assay. These are the data for Cry2AB2 for 150 micrograms per ml, the highest dose that we tested. You see variability both in the mortality data and in the mortality plus stunning responses. Again, there would be less variability in the mortality plus stunning responses. 22 of the 39 colony batches had 100% response or greater. The lowest mortalities observed were about 30 and 34%, and those were colonies S1 and S20. For the mortality plus stunning responses, there were 25 of the 39 were equal to 100. 3 colonies had responses equal to S20, which had about 57% response in mortality plus stunning. This is the data for Cry1F, the second protein in wide stripe. You see that there's lots of variability And the comparative dose is not very high with Cry1F, obviously. But again, there's more variability in the mortality than in the mortality plus stunning responses. One of the laboratory Zaya batches had 85% mortality at 4 micrograms per centimeter squared of Cry1F. Colony S12 had the lowest mortality, which was only 5%. Three colonies had less than 20%. When you look at that same, those same sort of relationships in mortality plus stunning, that lab Zaya colony had a 99% response. S12 had 11% response, and those that were less than 20 ranged from 23 to 41%. This is the first year we have done monitoring for VIP-3A. We actually included three dosages. The highest dose was 100 micrograms per ml in a diet incorporation assay. You see some variability in the mortality plus stunning, but certainly not as much as we see with the mortality response criterion. Interestingly, with VIP-3A, the lowest mortality that we generally see is with lab Zaya. Our lab Zaya colony tends to be more tolerant of this protein than Monzaea or the field strains. With mortality plus stunning, 31 of the 36 responses were equal to 100% at this 100 microgram dose. Four lab Zaya batches and S11, colony S11, had responses less than 100%, which were between 72 and 92%. So, okay, Randy, that's a lot of data. What does it mean? I'm not for sure, to be perfectly honest. This is a kind of a generalization back to last year's summary. If you want to compare prior to that, you can read last year's report. This shows the average response for laboratory colonies, field colonies for 2007, and those for 2008. The average response of the field divided by the laboratory is there simply as an experimental control, because you know things like proteins can decay over time. So just the protein you're using to test may not be as active 1 year as it was the year before. There was no statistical difference in Cry1AC diet incorporation between the 2 years. It was the first year that we did the diet overlay with Cry1AC, so there's no reference there. With Cry2AB2, there was a slight decrease in the field, but there was also a slight decrease in the laboratory. So there was really not much difference there. There was a little bigger difference with Cry1F. The average field response at that 4 microgram dose was 54%. In 2008, it was 78%. In 2007, but again, look at the laboratory responses. So I would suggest there was something going on with the potency of that material that we were using, and that may not be real. Again, notice that ratio of field to lab for the VIP-3A, and the interesting observation that our laboratory colony is a little bit more tolerant than the field strains. So we looked at the relationships in these different mortality responses within a protein, across the proteins. There were 119 possible relationships that we looked at in these data sets. There were only 38 significant relationships. 29 of those were within a given protein. In other words, mortality was related to mortality plus stunning, or the mortality at a dose was related to mortality at a second dose. There were 9 significant relationships between the proteins. 8 of those were between Cry1AC and Cry2AB2. Now, these are for relationships across the range of colonies tested. In 2008, we also did some plant assays with some of the colonies. We had 6 field strains. We had 2 laboratory selected strains. We had Monzaea and Lab Zaya. We exposed those throughout their life stage on conventional cottons, Bogard, Bogard 2, and Wide Strike. They were reared to pupation, and the material was replaced every other day. These are the overall data. You can see these are the bar graphs for survival. It's 7 days, 14 days, 21 days, 28 days, and ultimately a pupation. And the first group is for Bogard, Bogard 2, 2 conventional parent lines, and Wide Strike. And then the first set of bars are for field colonies, laboratory selected colonies, Lab Zaya, and Monzaea. That's just kind of you can see the much higher survival rate in general on the conventional cottons. Now, if you look at percent survival at 7 days, well, this would be equal to those laboratory observations on diet. There was no significant difference between the field colonies, the laboratory selected, or the lab colonies on the conventional cottons. The laboratory selected in Monzaea had higher survival at 7 days than did the field colonies in Lab Zaya. With Bogard 2, the laboratory selected colony had higher survival than did the field colonies in the two laboratory strains. With Wide Strike, Monzaea and laboratory selected had higher survival than the field colonies. Lab Zaya was intermediate, 7 days. From resistance, it's the ability to survive, pupate, and reproduce. This is actual survival to pupation. Notice that the laboratory selected colonies were not as fit as the laboratory colonies or the field colonies. Survival even on the conventional cotton was significantly reduced. But survival on the conventional cotton was fairly high. On Bogard cotton, the laboratory selected colony had higher survival than did the two lab strains. The field colonies had about 3% survival, which was intermediate between the two. There was no statistical difference between zero and any survival on Bogard 2. On Wide Strike, the laboratory selected colonies, 11% of them survived to pupation. These data indicate that a few larvae can make it through on BT cotton. Now, we looked at the relationships between the diet assays and the field assays. And only 13 of 240 possible relationships were significant. That tells me that what we're measuring in diet assays doesn't necessarily reflect what happens on plant tissue or in the field. At random probability, 12 would have been significant. There was no significant relationship between total mortality in the diet assays and measurement of survival to pupation on the plant tissue. General conclusions, we again see high variability in the mortality response across colonies. There's less variability associated with mortality plus stunning, suggesting that the stunning response may provide a higher test dose. The mortality plus stunning responses were similar to those in 2007, but we did detect a few differences with Cry2AB2 and Cry1F, and it illustrates the importance of having experimental controls in that process. A few relationships between responses of diet assays were observed, especially between those Cry1AC and Cry2AB. Test concentrations and mortality plus stunning were commonly related across these colonies. Survival of field colonies fed BT cottons was less than 5%, but it was measurable, suggesting that in the real world, maybe a few do make it through. The relationships between diet assays and plant tissue assays were limited and unclear, and probably raises questions about really what does all of this mean. I'd like to acknowledge the Arkansas Agricultural Experiment Station, my colleagues from industry, Nancy Adams for rearing the insects, and my industry scientific colleagues who had input into the project. John, any questions?
Time for one short question.
Adios.